Բարի երեկո, սիրելի հայրենակիցներ, ամերիկայի հայկական համագումարի շաբաթական ռադիոժամին։ Խոսափողի մոտն է Միհրան Թումաջյան, ամերիկայի հայկական համագումարի արևմտյան շրջանի տնօրեն։ Այսօր բացառիկ հյուր ունենք մեզ հետ և շնորհակալ ենք իր ժամանակի համար, որը շատ սուղ է այս օրերը։ Մեր հարգելի հյուրն է Մարիա Մարտիրոսյանը, ով կոնգրեսում աշխատում է, ամերիկայի կոնգրեսում ներկայացիչների տան մեջ։ Հիմա պիտի իր կենսագրությունը հակիրճ անգլերեն լեզվով կարդամ, և ապա կսկսենք մեր զրույցը Մարիա Մարտիրոսյանին հետ։ The Armenian Assembly of America Weekly Radio Hour is pleased to have as our guest in the first half of the show Maria Martirosyan, who is currently a legislative assistant for Representative Ilhan Omar, who serves in the 5th District, 5th Congressional District of Minnesota. Maria Martirosyan's portfolio for the Congresswoman includes the agriculture, energy, environment, education, judiciary, Native American, Natural Resources, Postal Services, and Small Business Portfolios. Prior to joining Team Omar in November of 2019, Maria Martirosyan worked for Congressman Jimmy Gomez, who represents California's 34th Congressional District, and she also interned for the House Committee on Ways and Means, which is one of the most powerful committees on the Hill, and with Representative Ami Bera, of California's 7th Congressional District, closer to the Sacramento area. Born in Nikolaev, Ukraine, Maria and her family moved from Tbilisi, Georgia, to Los Angeles in 1999. Upon graduating from the University of California, Berkeley, as a double major in political science and Slavic languages and literatures, Maria moved to Washington, D.C. to establish a career in public service. In addition to volunteering her time at various organizations, Maria serves as the president of the Congressional Armenian Staff Association, which is a nonpartisan, bicameral congressional staff organization recognized by the U.S. House Committee on House Administration. Maria Martirosyan, it is an honor to have you as our guest this evening on the Armenian Assembly Weekly Radio Hour. Pari Yegar.
It's a pleasure to be here tonight.
So, Maria, there's so much to talk about. You have such a wonderful biography already, and you've been working in public service not too long, but as our listeners understand already, a stellar career in public service, and I'm sure you're on an upward trajectory for bigger and better things to come. Before we go into the weeds about CASA and your experience on the Hill, if you could shed some light on your formative years and where you spent your formative years, and that would be a great introduction.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned in the bio, I was born in Ukraine and spent the first 4 years there. Shortly after, my family moved to Tbilisi, where my grandparents and parents were born, and that's where my great-grandmother sought refuge upon escaping from the genocide. As you can imagine, life after the fall of the Soviet Union was pretty tough. People were starving, there were no jobs, no electricity, tensions were high. But luckily, at that time, my aunt and grandmother were in the United States, and provided us financial help. And my parents took that opportunity to make sure that every night we had friends, family, neighbors at our house for meals and to have a good time together, kind of take away the stresses of the day. It was great. I grew up in a community where people really looked out for one another. And I think that left a deep, deep impact and led me to, how I spent my years after graduating from college in public service or wanting to get into this field. Of course, during the 90s, it was, again, a pretty tough time for me and families in Georgia, and we got harassed all the time. For our security, my parents didn't even let me start school, which I was crushed about. But looking back, I understand. And due to some series of unfortunate events and, frankly, traumatic events, My family packed some bags and we left for the United States in the middle of the night and became, asylum seekers here. And so prior to moving to the U.S., I only spoke Russian and Georgian, but L.A. has a strong Armenian community. And it's so funny that I learned to speak Armenian as a young child growing up in rural Armenia. And, you know, I'm proud to say that I can have a normal conversation in Armenian without having formal education in Armenian language. But I did, and I did attend public schools in the neighborhood, went to a magnet high school in downtown L.A., but really just got involved with the Armenian club there as well as the debate team, traveled across California competing at national tournaments. And by senior year, I was the president of the Armenian club and captain of the debate team. So it really just made sense that when I applied to college, I applied as a political science major.
Well, that's great to hear about the about you captaining the debate team and being in a leadership position in the Armenian club in high school. You matriculated to UC Berkeley, great school. And obviously it's got one of the top ASAs, Armenian Student Associations, in the country.
Yes.
Very active. And I trust you were involved with the ASA during your years at Berkeley.
I was, yes. And it was an interesting time. I wasn't as involved as I was back in high school. We had an incredible board of, leadership students. And that was during the time that we were doing a divestment movement, the UCs were doing a divestment movement. So that was a fantastic experience. But I remember my favorite part was around April, we had Genocide Awareness Week. And it was an entire week where we spent educating the campus student body. And we had incredible guests. And I was part of Artsakh, which is the choir. And so we always had the pleasure of singing on campus, as well as going to City Hall in San Francisco for the centennial and singing there as well.
Wonderful. I'm curious, and I know our listeners are curious about, a few factors that precipitated your interest in public service and in pursuing a career in public service. Did that happen, at Berkeley? Was it before Berkeley while you were in high school? Was it even before that while you were spending your formative years in Georgia? When was the spark or the sparks?
I don't know if there was like that one moment where I realized it has to be public service and I have to be in DC. I think it was just a series of events where I accidentally got involved with the debate team. I initially thought it was super nerdy, but I did it anyways. I went to Berkeley and just got involved with teaching a 2-unit course there on social justice. I just feel like it was just a lot of things that I led to others. And eventually after studying political science and, always hearing and learning about the Armenian genocide and the effects it's had on our community since, it just made sense for me to come to D.C. And when I did, I wanted to have my first job be something where I can't have that experience anywhere else. And that was not initially Congress. I wanted to be a foreign service officer. I wanted to go into the international relations world. I thought Congress was hectic, crazy, chaotic. Nothing ever gets done there. And I did not want to step foot in those halls.
That's interesting. You mentioned the hectic, chaotic, crazy essence of Congress, which is true, having been on the other side of it as a lobbyist. We contribute to that chaos and craziness at times, we lobbyists. But I think our listeners would like to know if your internship, for example, on the House Ways and Means Committee, if that internship was sort of the moment where you crossed the Rubicon and said, yeah, you know what? I really like the Hill. I wouldn't mind seeing if there's an opportunity, to work full time, and get compensated for it on the Hill. Was that internship sort of the moment?
Yes. As soon as I stepped foot and actually decided I want to intern on the Hill and I'm going to give it a chance, I was in awe the first day. I was like, everything is moving so quickly. There's so much to do. I love the chaos. And I just fell in love with the space. I loved even just answering phones from constituents, transferring calls, being in these meetings where, you know, national policy is being discussed. And so I knew that that's where I wanted to grow my career. And since then, I really just took time to reach out to folks, ask them to mentor me, eventually, you know, mentor others who are also coming to the Hill. But I knew that I would see myself one day getting to a place where I would be writing policy as well.
Very nice. I'm curious now. The next question that comes to mind is the fact that, you know, we're living in the COVID era right now, and it's impacted practically everyone's work, for better or worse. I'm curious, and our listeners, I'm sure, would be interested in knowing how you've adjusted and pivoted in terms of working in the COVID era, working virtually. Yourself, fellow staffers, obviously, most staffers are not on the Hill these days, both House side and Senate side. How is that impacting, your work generally?
It's strange, you know. Every day on the Hill is very different. You always have tons and tons of people coming in or out of your office. You're meeting with constituents, lobbyists, different organizations. You have committee hearings, and in the blink of your eye, the day is over. Not a lot has changed, I would say. It's just different now because we are still doing everything. We're just doing everything remotely and making sure that we are communicating with our team, or we're on daily Zoom calls, updating our supervisors and our colleagues all the time. I just feel like it would be so much easier if we were back in the office, because you learn and absorb so much from senior staff around you. And that's really how the Hill works. There is no, manual where you sit down and someone trains you or reads, here's what you need to do. You just learn on the job, and being around my supervisors has been such a crucial part of learning the job and being successful.
It's interesting you mentioned the learning on the job aspect, and that is so true, not just for jobs on the Hill, but generally in the professional world. You are the president of the Congressional Armenian Staff Association. I'd like to take a deeper dive with you for a few minutes about CASA and how perhaps yourself, your colleagues who are in CASA, are making it a bit more easier for prospective staff members, potentially current interns right now, or future interns, to not just learn on the job, but to have a greater understanding before they, before they head into a career on the Hill or a job on the Hill. How are you guys, with the Congressional Armenian Staff Association, sort of facilitating that smoother transition for prospective staffers? And please go ahead and perhaps preface your statement by talking about what CASA is and when it started.
Yeah, of course. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about CASA. It's organization of staffers that mainly other staffers and folks within the Beltway know about. And our goal is to make sure that folks across the country really know that we exist, because our mission is to recruit, retain, and advance Armenian staffers in the Senate and House of Representatives. And we are really dedicated to encouraging career development and increasing opportunities for our members on the Hill. Of course, the more Armenian Americans we have working on the Hill, the more representation we have, whether it's on Armenian American issues or just having our voices be uplifted in these spaces, which I think is really, really important. DC, especially the Hill, it's really important to have good relationships and to help one another. And so I saw that firsthand when I came to DC, how so many people were not only just willing to help, but eager to give you their advice and their templates and reach out to their network and introduce you to people. And so I was happy to see that within the Armenian community within DC. However, we did not have an organized body within Congress. Now, the credit goes to Tade Isakhanian, who used to work on the Hill. He went ahead and registered the organization formally with the House Committee on Administration. However, shortly after that, he left. And so I kind of picked up the reins from there. And we started by having our monthly newsletters, making sure that we're in contact with folks, staffers on the Hill, both Senate, House, committee, and member offices, but also reaching out to the local organizations around D.C. to have them, introduce us to their interns, introduce us to their network, and to maybe hopefully inspire some young Armenians to seek internships on the Hill. Of course, we don't make any promises that you'll get a job or that you'll get an internship, but we do our best to share as much information as possible where the openings are, how to tailor your resume. And then for those who are mid-career, who are already on the Hill, we have various professional development networking opportunities to introduce people to folks in other staff associations or other groups that might be able to help them get their foot in the door for the next job, the next position, whether it's a policy position, communications director position. And I'm so proud to say that we do have so many bright Armenians as in high positions, whether it's in committee or legislative directors on the House side.
And speaking of that, Maria, for the second half of our show, your friend and colleague on the Hill, Harut Semerjian, will be our guest. And Harut works for one of those committees that you mentioned, the House Foreign Affairs Committee. For those who'd like to learn more about the Congressional Armenian Staff Association, you do have a Facebook page, which is called the Congressional Armenian Staff Association. And it's got plenty of information there, including information about past events that you've done. So feel free to check it out, dear listeners, if you're on Facebook. Congressional Armenian Staff Association is the name of this nonpartisan bicameral organization on the Hill. Maria, we've got a couple minutes left. I am curious. You are active on the Hill, obviously. Just generally, the Washington, D.C. Armenian community, you've got the Armenian Assembly of America, my organization, active on the Hill in D.C., the Armenian National Committee of America. Headquarters is there. They're active on the Hill, active in community. You spent a lot of time in California after moving to the States. How has the transition been to D.C. and so to speak, inside the Beltway, if you will? We've got about a minute left.
Yeah, no, I love it here. And I think having the large Armenian community, of course, not in comparison to L.A., but having the Armenian community here has made it so much easier. I have family away from family, and we're always together with my friends, whether we're celebrating Thanksgiving or other events. It's great to have familiar faces around.
That's wonderful. So, dear listeners, we could talk to Maria a lot more, including about her portfolio. She's got a ton, as I mentioned earlier, the different subject matters that she's on top of for Representative Omar, in whose office she works. And perhaps we could circle back some other time and talk to Maria about some of her portfolio subject areas. But we are short on time, and we will be welcoming Maria's colleague on the Hill, Harut Semerjian, after a brief commercial. Maria Mardirosyan, Shat Shat Shonra Galink, thank you for joining the Armenian Assembly Radio Hour this week.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It was a pleasure being here.
Thank you, and keep up the great work, Maria. Manatsik Mezhed Sireli Hayre Nakitsner.